Sin City's where you're going with your eyes open. Or you don't come out at all. How did I get here? What have I done?
You're the only man I ever loved.
Death is just like life in Sin City. It always wins.
You never thought we'd stand a chance against the most powerful man in the state. Maybe I'll go crazy. Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Well, Senator.
You got any idea what you're up against?
You're up against the Rourke.
I'm ready for your worst.
Boy, you don't even want to dream about my worst.
You'd be smart to kill me now.
It took 10 years to make this shit. This complicated ass shit right here took 10 years to make. Damn. I'm sorry. I'm just coming out this movie right now. Me and the lovely Mrs. One or whatever. And I think this is another reason why we together or whatever. Because as soon as this movie ended, we just both looked at each other and just said, just laughed and said, what the fuck was that we just saw? People, I'm here to talk about Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, or some shit like that. I don't even know the name of this stupid-ass franchise movie. Yeah, it is A Dame to Kill For. But it took 10 years to make this shit. And it don't make any goddamn sense whatsoever. I hear a lot of people blaming Frank Miller. But goddamn, we got to blame Robert Rodriguez, too, because when the last time he made anything good? Last thing was Machete Kills. Come on now. Anybody knows that? Ain't no way in hell that shit was good. But, man, where the hell do I begin with a fucking plot synopsis for this? Because there's about four different plots in this. And people, if you don't know, this is a sequel to the 2004. Yeah, 2004 Sin City. And based off the graphic novel produced by Frank Miller. Everybody knows him from such great graphic novels as Dark Knight Returns, obviously Sin City, which is something actually I've never finished reading because I just wasn't that interested in it. I like the stylistics of it, but never really could get into that book. I know a lot of people love A Dame to Kill For, but I know this movie, well, both movies actually just takes pretty much bits and pieces from those books and add their own little flair to it. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Joseph Gordon-Levitt one in this one was the one that wasn't in the book. And turns out that might have been the best thing of this movie. But let's just go ahead and try to give a plot synopsis. Shit is happening. There you go. That's the plot synopsis. So let me you got a bunch of you got a bunch of actors, great actors too at that, who's just thrown into scenarios and shit just happens. What it is pretty much is you got about four stories, I think three or four stories being told. You got Josh Brolin and Ava Green's story. You got the Bruce Willis and Jessica Alba story. The Joseph Gordon-Levitt story. Where am I at? Three. And then you got the Mickey Rourke story. So you got about four stories being told. And in the magic of Robert Rodriguez's eyes, they're supposed to come together towards the end. But my God, that was probably one of the worst parts of the film is how this is supposed to tie in with each story, and yet it never does. That shit bothered the hell out of me. But and the thing is, it's not even funny neither. Like, I hear a lot of people trying to defend the movie by saying, I think it's aware that it's like comic book style ridiculous. Like, I'm just like, I don't think it is at all, because it never once winks at the camera or laughs or has a good time with you. I mean, the jokes they try to crack in is supposedly funny. You just look at them and go like, oh, why did he say that? Because maybe it's because the dialogue is that fucking bad. The dialogue in here is horrible. I mean, it's shot in this narrative style where each main character of that storyline is narrating it. And my God, man, could that shit be any more fucking boring? I mean, the beginning of my fix is I was not a big fan of the original Sin City. I thought it was all right, but I was like, whatever. I just like the look of it. And so going to this one, I didn't even remember this movie's coming out. I had no expectations for this film or no disregards of not wanting to see it neither. I just went in there and saw it. And when the movie started, I was like, I like the look of it. I like the feel of it. About 10 minutes passed, my face started cringing more because I started looking more confused, and I was just like, what the fuck is going on in this story? So the movie opens up with you got, I'm about to call him Michael Rourke, fucking Michael, what's that son of a bitch name now? I call him Merle, shit, Michael Rooker, yeah, who should have played this, actually. You got Mickey Rourke playing Marv, opens up, shooting a narrative scene that it don't make any goddamn sense at all, okay? Let's be real. Nobody's narrative in here made any goddamn sense except for my man crush JGL. Marv is talking some shit where he's straight out of a fucking comic book, and they will not hesitate to let you know, which is not a problem at all, but, man, I had a hard time translating this to screen. I was just like, yeah, as far as visually, it looks like it translated the screen well, but as far as storytelling, I saw no purpose why this had to go. But Marv, Mickey Rourke, he doesn't remember stuff, and he's pretty much he's pretty much the joke of Sin City, you know. I mean, not so much the joke, but pretty much everybody knows that, look, he's just a big guy that's just fighting, and if we have to lose him, he dies, and whatever, shit. Jessica Alba, we find out that later, that's his sister. She's just stripping. By the way, the movie is called Sin City. All this naked ass from Eva Green character, because she's a joke in Hollywood now as a woman actress. Jessica Alba works in probably the most dirtiest strip club ever, and yet that bitch never once gets naked. I was like, damn, this is the most tamest titty fucking bar. If I was Mickey Rourke character in Marv, I'd have been having my head down too all of a sudden. Not just because it's my sister on stage, but because, fuck, she'll never take her goddamn bra off or anything like that. Like, what kind of strip club is this? She's suffering alcohol problems because they paid Bruce Willis' ass just to stand and point. That motherfucker pulled a Twilight the second Twilight, whatever it was, when Edward just kept popping up and shit, talking about Bella, no, don't do that or whatever. That's exactly what Bruce Willis was doing. He was just standing there in the gun because she can't see him because he's dead, obviously, from the first film. And he plays the character Hardigan, and she's just like, Hardigan, you said you'd never leave me. And then he's just in the background, I never did. I love you. Don't cut your hair. Buy the 2-ply toilet paper right there. Keep your clothes on. I'm just like, damn, Bruce. Dude, you would have did better just in Expendables fucking 3 movie, because that's just you did in here, man. You can't help but just look at him and go like, why the fuck is he even in here? So yeah, that was one of my first complaints. It's like, oh, this is supposed to be the hardest crime cities ever and shit like that. I mean, it's Sin City, obviously. And Jessica Alba is working in the most tamest fucking titty bar I've ever goddamn seen. Where it really pretty much is a burlesque house. The most tamest burlesque house ever. Josh Brolin plays Dwight. You got Eva Green playing Ava. She's playing this character. This is where we're getting his story, where he's playing a character that this woman drives him mad or whatever. She like, whenever she's they're together or whatever, for some reason, he just can't control the monster as he's narrating it. And I just like, what, the monster energy drink? What the fuck are you talking about, man? Jesus Christ. So we get to where apparently we see open up where they split up. And he's telling her, I don't love you anymore, but she's trying to get him back. And she only wants to get him back because she knows he can play as him. Turns out she's the villain. That's one of the main problems of the film, too, is you don't really know who the fucking villain is and who's gonna kill who and anything like that. And you're expecting these characters to team up or something like that at this point. Because if I'm not mistaken, there was a scene in the trailer where Josh Brolin, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Mickey Rourke were sitting at a table together, but that never once happened in the movie. So I was expecting these three to come together and fight this one bad guy, which we'll get into later, but that never happened. So that was one of the main problems of the movie, is that there was too many characters to focus on and not enough heart in the story as far as where they're going with. By the way, one of the best, obviously, Senator Rourke, who's played by Powers Booth, was, like I said, we'll get into that later. But so then we find out that Ava Green, she pretty much seduces Josh Brolin into killing her husband, who actually is a well decent man. He's never done anything wrong in his life or anything like that, but she finds a way to manipulate him to kill him, and then next thing you know, she wants him dead because she's just like, now I have all the money and power in the world and no man is ever gonna stop me. I'm just like, damn, this bitch then took her clothes off twice this year in a movie and had two of the most ridiculous sex scenes that ain't even worth getting a boner over. They're pretty much just standing there just like, damn, bitch, is that really how you have sex? Because damn, you make that shit uninteresting like a motherfucker or whatever. I mean, she's just laid out over a tub and just titties is out. She's just like, look, if I can't get an Oscar, goddamn, I'm showing some titties in. She's pretty much begging for people to come fuck her. Which I don't have a problem with. I mean, shit, she need to come beg my way or something like that because I will take her up on that beg. But she, honestly, Eva Green, you becoming a joke in Hollywood. Let's be real. I mean, after the shit you pulled in 300 and now you see this, you just like, wow, girl, you have, and I hate to even say this, this is coming from me, you have no class or decency whatsoever no more, do you? You just don't give a fuck. It's just like, see, so what you're going to do in this scene, Eva, is you're going to be doing, try to take my clothes off? No, Eva, you don't have to take your clothes off in this scene or whatever. Are you sure? Because she's already half naked and shit like that. Rodriguez is like, well, since you're already fucking naked, you might as well just stay that way then. What story are we going to get into? Let's see. I got the Jessica Alba. I got the Mickey Rourke. Josh Brolin. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Who? Now, like I said, the dialogue is bad in here. I really think it was just the actor. And acting goes on par for Josh Brolin as well. His acting was good, but his dialogue was fucking horrible. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I really wish they would have just went with that storyline and just made it one full-length feature film with that character and adding these other characters in here with the same goal because, you know, we find out towards the end of his storyline that he's the son of Senator Rourke, well, one of the sons of Senator Rourke, and Powers Booth, who plays him, they have like this. I mean, for some reason, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he's a guy who never runs out of luck. Yeah, I mean, his superpower is if he puts a quarter in something, goddamn it, he's going to win something out of it, and he's going to win something big. So he wins money, goes challenge up the big guns, which is Senator Rourke, and everybody knows, you taking money from Senator Rourke, you got some problems, death wish coming your way. And obviously, he takes all his money. Next thing you know it, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's on the run from this guy. Next thing you know, he breaks his fucking hand, shoots him in the leg, beats his face in to the point where you just like, damn, ain't that enough? Find out then later that's his father. Joseph Gordon-Levitt pretty much, once he gets his shit fixed, he's like, all I need is a dollar, baby. I'm back in the game. And they have a really cool back and forth storyline where it's just like, you're thinking like, because Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you see in the trailer, he says lines like, you'll just do better killing me right now. And Senator Rourke is like, dude, I like it better this way that you're fearing me right now. You know, that fear equals more power and respect than just killing somebody, which I kind of agree with them. So they're playing this back and forth until Joseph Gordon-Levitt gets a dollar in his hand once Rourke already takes all his money. So he gets a dollar in his hand, puts it back in the machine. And you thinking like he's going to go out, team up with Brolin and Mickey Rourke to kill this guy or something. This is a revenge film now. No, he goes back to the gambling table, takes all his money again, until Rourke just shoots him in the fucking head. And you're just like, oh, did he really die? Because I thought it was going to be more of this going on. Turns out, no, that was the end of that story. I mean, that if it wasn't chopped up and edited into the way it was, that storyline probably went on for about 10 minutes. And it was the best story plot that this movie had, to me at least, because the acting on both parts were great, even delivering the worst fucking dialogue ever. But it was still damn good, and I thought Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and not suck his dick, but I wish I could actually. But he definitely had the best acting chops in this film by far. So let me go ahead and get into what I liked about the film, which is very small actually. That's why I'm going ahead and knocking that out the way. Like I said, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Powers Booth, great acting on their part. By the way, they got that fucking Allstate guy in here where Dennis Haysbert, he plays Minute. He's pretty much just Eva Green's bodyguard. Right? He's pretty much Idris Elba's character from Thor. He's a doorman. He's got that little suit on. Everybody kept making jokes for Idris Elba. He's just missing them white gloves, whatever. Guess what? Dennis Haysbert completes the whole outfit. By the way, I don't know when his eye gets taken out, why the fuck they put a gold ball on his head. I guess that was the only thing you can see color in that dark-ass nigga's eye or something like that. I guess. I don't know, but whatever. And then, you know, you got Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like I said, Powers Booth delivered great jobs. Bruce Willis wasted his fucking time. I don't know what the hell he was doing there. Christopher Lloyd's even makes an appearance in there. He helps. I ain't going to say hilarious. It was a cameo, if anything. And it was... it was funny for the moment or whatever, just seeing how crazy he fucking was and Joseph Gordon-Levitt's reaction. So pretty much anything in the Joseph Gordon-Levitt storyline was pretty good. Josh Brolin, dude's an amazing actor. I really don't know why he's wasting his time with this now. But I thought he did a good job as well. But, man, he probably, I want to say for all the guys, he probably had some of the worst dialogue out of everybody. It was really, and I ain't gonna lie, his narrating was putting me to fucking sleep. I was like, dude, get on with something, do something. He pretty much is in this movie just to get his ass beat and just to growl and move. I mean, if anything, this is like they pretty much told him act like it as if you had that Batman role or something like that, because that's pretty much what he was doing in this film. Mickey Rourke, man, the makeup on him looked horrible. I wish they would. I mean, but then again, his original face looked horrible. So, I mean, all the makeup in the world ain't going to help that ugly ass face. I mean, shit, that dude looked like a 69-year-old transvestite sometimes and shit like that. And this movie just made him look like, it pretty much made him look like, what's that bitch name from Kick-Ass 2? Mother Russia and shit. He just looked like Mother Russia male version in this film. And I don't even know if that's even sad to say, because he still kind of looked like a transvestite sometimes. But, And another thing I really liked, it's just the style of the film. I'm not going to lie, halfway through the film, it got kind of old, but I do appreciate it and really did like the comic book feel of the noir take that this movie was going for, and the whole black and white scheme with the certain color pattern and shit like that. That really was interesting, and I thought it played for great chops or whatever. But I think the problem with this movie is it tries to go too much for a stylistic version or a stylistic vision instead of an actual good fucking story, because you really don't get that in this movie. And it was just baffling to me that why people was liking this shit. I really had a hard time trying to keep up with this, and I don't mean keeping up as if something I understand, because I understand it a lot. I understand it was dog shit. But I think it was so driven to capture its that visual aesthetic that it just completely obliterated everything else from the film. I mean, besides, and not to take away the actors, whatever, the actors in here do what they have to do, except for you got people like Jessica Alba. I mean, Jesus Christ, man. And people, they ended the fucking movie on her note, and you're just looking at that like, it didn't even feel like an ending. I swear to God. I was like, wow, that's it? I thought this movie would have went on longer. Ava Green eventually gets shot. Josh Brolin kills her. That's in that storyline. Joseph Gordon-Levitt gets murdered. That's in that storyline. And then we finally see Bruce Willis. He finally got to Jessica Alba's character. Why don't you just murder? He's just talking in the background. You don't even know what the fuck he's talking about. I mean, there was times in the movie I was just like, is his ass alive or what? What is he doing back here? Why they even put him in the movie? So she's pretty much looking for revenge to kill Powers Booth, Senator Rourke's character. And she finally mans up by just telling Mickey Rourke's character, Marv, hey, I'm ready to do this. Let's do this. Immediately, she's a badass. She kills everybody at the housing place, whatever. So does Marv. And some reason, when they finally murder everybody, they get to the place. He's just chilling on the balcony now, which I don't know why. I guess he got shot, but he wasn't dripping any blood. You didn't see any wounds on him, so I was confused about that. So she runs to the place. Next thing you know it, he shoots her, and he sees the ghost of Bill. I'm about to call him Bill Murray for some reason. He sees the ghost of Bruce Willis. He freaks out, turns around. Next thing you know it, Jessica Alba murders his ass. And that's the end of the, and the movie just fucking ends kind of on that note. You're just kind of like, what the fuck was that? Rosario Dawson. I don't know how many times I got to say I love that woman. I really do. I mean, seeing her bend over in that outfit. I mean, if anything, this movie did make me appreciate Jessica Alba and Rosario Dawson half naked dancing like whores, because goddamn, Jessica Alba, that's the only thing you can do as far as acting, from what I've been seeing lately, is just get on stage and dance. Maybe you should have been a stripper, and a better stripper than this, because you didn't even take your fucking clothes off. And Rosario Dawson, her costume looked ridiculous, I'm not gonna lie. The shit she was wearing looked stupid as fuck. I was like, wow. I know that's even in the book too, but even in the book it looks stupid. I mean, come on, you can't translate this well. And this goes back to that genius of Frank Millar, because, you know, everybody knows about his crazy ass tantrum, how he believes women should be portrayed. But then again, this goes back to Robert Rodriguez as well, because he does the same shit in Machete, those Machete films, and dresses the women the same way. So I don't want to point the finger blame all on Mark Millar here, Frank Millar, especially. I'm fucking names up right now. Especially when Robert Rodriguez was working on this film. Like I said, he hasn't made a good movie in how long? Yeah, my point exactly. More negatives about the film. It dragged on and on. I mean, the movie is really short and the ending is fucking crappy. But you wish you could have found some way. Like I said, the main problem with this is they have all these stories in here, and none of them makes any goddamn sense to where they tie in, to the point when you get to the ending, you just go like, what was the point of all of that? And the end of on the Jessica Alba storyline, which I thought was the weakest storyline, I was like, this movie really lost me. And if it wasn't for the Joseph Gordon-Levitt scene, the good acting from Josh Brolin part, the cinematography of how it was shot and the stylistic version of his choice, this movie was hitting some high fuck it territory. I mean, it probably still is, personally, because Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like I said, is only in there for 10 minutes. The Josh Brolin scene, that storyline really didn't make any damn sense neither. I mean, that really was the Dame to Kill For storyline, and I'm not gonna lie, I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, this is a CJ movie, because this movie definitely does not like women. I mean, the women in here are either whores, prostitutes, or they're pretty much crying over some man or something like that. There's a scene where nothing but women on rooftops are shooting at this cop, whatever, and they all are wearing the fucking leather outfits with no pants. Short now. I ain't got a problem with that personally, but I felt like there was times I was watching this and I kept seeing Sucker Punch, the Robert Rodriguez version of it, and I guess it makes sense in the style of that it's Sin City, but at the same time, shouldn't there be some strong female characters in here other than, and I don't mean strong female like the Hunger Games or anything like that. I ain't talking about that. I'm just saying, like, shouldn't there be a female crime boss or something like that? Like, why did this chick feel the need to fuck over this guy to get his money and then act as if she needed more men to, I like that, that didn't, she should have just been a badass on her own. And then, okay, I forgot this character's name, I'm not gonna lie, but they crowbar, oh, by the way, there was a Juno Temple sex scene in here too, that man, that went somewhere I don't even know where. And if I'm not mistaken, now, I don't think it was, but it could have been Ray Liotta, if I'm not mistaken. I couldn't tell because it happened so quick. I blinked and it went. It's a fucking cameo scene. But Eva Green, she's at this party and she's trying to get this crime boss together, which, by the way, she never they set up a truce together or something like that, but it never comes back to that. So they show up this fat Clay-looking son of a bitch or whatever, and I forgot his fucking name, and it's eating me up right now. I'm about to go pull out my fucking Sin City book. But, and it served no purpose. And by the way, it looked like shit. The makeup on him, man. I know Robert Rodriguez does his movies for cheap, but god damn, dude, that it looked like shit. And it was just like, wow, actually, by you putting this in the movie, I know you was trying to appeal to some people by saying, hey, here's a character from the books here. But you actually just made a scene stood out even more, and not in a good way neither. And there were times in the movie I couldn't stop shaking my goddamn head. I was just looking at it like, Jesus Christ, man, you were really trying to go over style for substance here. And I really didn't get as much character as I thought. I mean, like I said, the problem with the movie is it captures a visual aesthetic so much that it just destroys the character death and narration of them. It destroys the narrative too, because all the narrative is almost fucking so boring, whatever. You just like, get with the fucking story here. The emotion, and the biggest thing that it loses is fucking logic, and it achieves nothing. Once again, this movie is getting you know what, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. It's a fuck it. Like, why am I going on with this? I'm trying to convince myself that it's a low stream or something like that. You know what? It's a fuck it. I thought this was, I thought it was dreading. I'm not going to lie. I was like, man, when is this shit over? It drug on a little longer than I thought because none of the stories were making any sense or tying in. If a movie was a tying together, then maybe, yes, I can be like, okay, this was interesting. But since they all had nothing to do with nothing ever, it's just like, why even tell this many stories then? The only stories that actually connected was you got the senator here, who's the same villain for Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Jessica Alba, but they never meet up or anything like that. And then you got Mickey Rourke's character teaming up with Josh Brolin for a scene. But other than that, that's the body of that scene. It loses logic and sense altogether and goes for a stylistic vision that, which is fine and okay, but goddamn it, I need something much more than that. And yeah, this is getting a fuck it. And the biggest fuck it reason why is because I saw a movie called Sin City that's supposed to be in the most dirtiest, grimiest place ever, and bitch Jessica Alba didn't take her fucking clothes off. Are we ever going to see this chick naked? I think not.
He's going up against a lot of guns.
I'm
going
to kill Rourke.
Kill me.
Power is a fragile thing. I need them to know the price of defiance.
Looks like Christmas.
You're starting a gang war in a game for professionals.